Yeah, the problem I have on the LS one, which might surprise people because obviously they know I'm a friend of his, and I said the same thing about the SKT drama last year, where, spoiler, he absolutely was going to be the coach of SKT, but as I alluded to, SKT and certain people within the org, T1 now, do not fuck with other aspects of LS that are not about him being a coach. So the problem I have always is this, just knowing him as a person, and I've no doubt he's said mostly, I mean, he's done those bloody, I think, borderline unethical, like, live therapy sessions with that fucking guy who's apparently some sort of like psychologist or something. I personally think that's beyond fucking, but let's make that aside.
Yeah, what? You've never seen... what is this?
Wait, you're on your mind. You aren't aware there's a guy who goes on Twitch and pretends to be like a fucking psychiatrist.
Oh,
has like live therapy sessions.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Ellis did one of those. He's gone on those and done them. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Like he's been on that guy's show.
You know this used to be a meme, right? When Katy Perry doing it. This shit was a massive joke that people are doing this in person and then suddenly it turns into an actual channel.
Like, isn't, I don't know that guy's status. Maybe he actually does have the qualification. But I just personally think it's a bit dodgy to sort of, like, lure people in to do that publicly. And then when you're going to talk about all your insecurities and your problems. By the way, spoiler, the internet is a faucet of shit directed at your soul. Why would you give those people the blueprint and the fucking map to destroy you utterly? But anyway, on one side, my point is, like, if you know LS as a person, he's a very troubled individual because of the life path he's chosen. And by the way, he's also in an incredibly high-pressure job. Like, if people don't know it, it leaks out all the time on social media. He's a guy who just wrecks himself with his sleep schedule and how much work he does in a day and how many things he tries to fit in. Basically, he's the guy who can't let any one aspect go because he thinks he's sort of like, it's like FOMO. It's like, fuck, oh, what if I let that go and then someone else gets ahead of me? Right. First of all, that mentality will break in a coaching job. Like, coaching is the worst gig ever for that because sometimes you're doing an amazing job. Let's say you were doing such an awesome job, but some of the effects are only going to kick in 3 weeks from now. Doesn't matter. Every week you lose, you're an idiot, a moron, you should be fired. Some of your own players, by the way, before the effects kick in, might think some of that shit and might go, I don't know, a bit questionable. I thought this guy was supposed to be a genius. Even worse, by the way, not with this lineup, but God forbid you ever flamed any of those players ever in the past. And then they use that, you know, the one moment they think you fucked up to like bring that up. That itself is going to be a nightmare, mate. I can tell you from my own experience. I can't get that fucking second beer in an after party, Rich, because it's like a fucking swarm of loser pro players in Counter-Strike who've just had their third beer. They see me and it's like fucking Terminator. They have to come and start debating me about Counter-Strike, even as I'm explicitly telling them, I don't want to talk about Counter-Strike right now. It's not the venue. And secondly, I might have to take you outside if you don't fuck off right now. But I'll tell everyone straight up a spoiler for this episode, right? It's going to be talking about, you know, this is like the polite way you do it if you're doing like a public lecture, like, what is the role of AD carry in the League of Legends meta game? But I'll give you the spoiler. It's probably just going to be two AD carry players complaining and just whining about all the other roles. So I don't know if I need a co-host for this one. I feel like these two guys themselves could talk for 2 hours. I know, I did basically.
I don't need to watch anymore.
I think I wanted to touch on this, what you said like about Drake's. I think that's like, that's actually my biggest... I spoke with several pro players about this actually, because when I was on break and etc. Everyone said that the game is really dull because of that reason. I think Drake's ruined the game completely since last year. Like, for example, let's say, like last year, there was the stats one, the one versus SKT. They won a game with giving up 5 dragons. And like people are like, oh, it's never been seen before, but you could actually play the map. Now, it's like so fucking boring. Like, forgive my language, but it's so fucking boring. The game is so trash. You go 5 people dragon. Then you go 5 people middle lane, then you go 5 people herald, then you go 5 people mid, get 1 or 2 turrets, and then you base, and then you wait for next one. And it's like, you can't play the map, you can't split push, and as much as like, it was boring to play against assassins who one-shot you, you could still outplay them, you could still play the map, you could still like, get better ways to teamfight, like different ways. Let's say, even like what Reckless was really good at, for example, he was really good at losing lane, or let's say,
we get what you mean. We get what you mean. Yeah.
I think you get frustrated with the lack of trust with like having to change it up constantly. Like you're constantly changing who you're working with. So like CS, you're going through a whole routine.
I think you get
like,
more frustrated by something. Getting paid late, but okay.
Oh, well, all right, that's a whole different fucking option. That's a whole different issue, right?
You still didn't say your 2016 Katowice the moment.
Oh, like the best part of that?
No, well, your favorite memory of getting fucked.
on that 19.
Well, the thing is that I was a commentator back then, boys. So you know.
No, that's right. You did your best.
Let's not open that.
Speaking of trigger points, Janko, the whole thing where Semler made the whole scene great for himself for a solid year and a half, while we were all still stuck in the fucking mines doing 19-hour days.
We'll get into Starladder.
I was pushing with TLs where we needed, you know, more analysts so you guys could have a rotation too. Wasn't like I was just, you know, like, yes, mine me my gold, and I want a solid gold watch.
No, listen, Semler's right. Like, he used to go in there and go, listen, guys, I want twice the day rate. I want to work a third as much. And you know what? I also want all these analysts to get a break. And they go, right, we can give you the first two. We can't do the third. He goes, I did what
I look
first.
Like analysts, goes,
that's it. We've got to have a compromise about? Somewhere.
What are you talking about?
Semler, can I ask you something, Semler, right? Remember, you are on camera now, right? Does it at all trigger you that you're the one who has the rep surrounding them, that you're the one who like pushes the rates up all the time and you're really money hungry and ruthless when it comes to money, when you were partnered with Anders, who basically was just using you as like some sort of fall guy for about 4 years or something? And then I come in one week and then they're like, I'm like, where's Jason? And they're like, what do you mean? And I go, but he does E-League though, and then they go, no, we got Scoots for you this week. And I go, so Jason's getting a week off this event, he's flying out to that other event, he's doing that event, and now I'm with Scoots. And there's a kicker here, because there's a story about Scoots that I'm going to tell, right? Because it was on air, so I'm not revealing anything
this is a funny
and story. people forget this story, because we actually helped Scoots out and played it out and styled it out, right? So when Scoots was on the desk with me, even though we told him, like, Scoots, you are like a legend in the scene, like, everyone knows you, you're part of the furniture, just come on the show, you know, give any comments you want to give thoughts about the E-League, give thoughts about the teams, you know, you can talk about anything. But because Scoots thought in his brain, I'm being hired to replace Jason, he came along with loads of pages of notes that he'd done. Like, he'd done notes on like every stat of like both the teams and like, you know, like win rate on all the maps and even which side they're winning on. So when Richard throws to him on one of these segments, right, like, oh, what do you think about this team here, he starts just reading off these pieces of paper, like, well, 72% win rate on CT side of train when they get it first time, but this time when they go to Mirage might have some bit. And then as he said all this, right, out of nowhere, he just goes, that's the wrong sheet. And then he just like, for 1 second, he looks among the other sheets, and then he obviously realizes in his brain, like, there's no way I'm going to find the sheet in 1 second and start seamlessly reading off. So he just literally stops talking. And then we're all just like, it's okay, Scoots. Yeah. So anyway, the teams are going to go like, but like, he just completely lost it for a minute.
Oh no.
That did make me die inside a little bit.
That is so good.
Back to the point of buyouts, I just want to know, I know you can't give specifics, but if you took the top five buyout prices you heard, what's like the average price across the top five buyouts?
In North America or everywhere?
Why don't we do one for North America and one for Europe?
Well, North America is probably the most. Like, I would say the average price of the top five buyouts, like $250,000. And that's not even for the five best players. We're talking third best players on the fifth best team.
Dude, for $250K, you could just pay on the dark web to have all your rivals killed. Why buy a player for that? It might not even work out. You pay on the dark web, but they definitely die. Again, I just want to retract that. I'm not saying that people should have all of their rival team killed on the dark web. I mean, for a start off, waste the money. Just have a couple of the star players killed.
So $250,000 for the third best player or the fifth best player on the third best team, whatever the fuck it was in North America. What are the European buyouts?
I would say $150,000, $100,000. There's significant, I wouldn't say significantly less, but a lot less average wise. Like Sonny going to Mouseports was cheap, super cheap, under $100,000.
So you could buy Sonny for Mouseports, or you could buy a souped up car that could be stolen.
Yeah.
which would you prefer? I'd rather drive around in Sunny for Mouse Sports. You can't even steal humans. Well, you can. Human trafficking and that. Yeah. Again, I just want to retract that. I don't think people should human traffic Sunny for Mouse Sports. Although in many ways, Penta did. They actually received money to send him to Mouse Sports. Obviously, by the way, how has no one made any jokes yet about the fact that Germany is just constantly importing humans to their country? And yet, ironically, Sweden haven't really opened those borders, have they?
Yeah. No.
Haven't really brought anyone in. By the way, you know, I actually think
This will sound like a big topic, but I do think after looking at what's happened with like FaZe, etc., that is the obvious solution. You can't sit around like the French scene and the Swedish scene did, where you're like, oh, we need in-game leaders. Who are you going to get? We don't have any, so I guess no one, and just keep doing this for 2 years. No. Well, at that point in time, I get it. If you had a Swedish guy, it would be better to have five Swedish players. It, maybe Shox is just a butterfly dreaming he's a man who's an in-game leader because his surname is Papillon, which means butterfly in French.
Think does it really? That.
It does. It's true. That's what it means. It doesn't mean he actually is a butterfly dreaming he's a man, but that's kind of your wheelhouse there, simulation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all in.
Maybe this is just all the dream of Shox.
Do you guys remember that?
If it is, though, why do you keep dreaming me just abusing your mate Smiths all the time? That's kind of fucked up. Why are you doing that, Shox? It's your fault. Everything I do is Shox's fault because it's all a simulation in a dream where he's a butterfly dreaming all this up. Evil bastard.
So unbelievably convoluted.
Also, why did you dream up ISIS, Shox? Fuck you. This is a disgusting dream. Have a nice dream, you evil bastard.
Listen, do you remember
they behead that? People, Shox. Why are you dreaming about that, you mad cunt? So, obviously, our guest for this one is going to be Dust, who is technically available for work in Valorant if people have any good events. He wants to do them. He likes the game. He does follow it. He does his homework. Look at what do you want? I'm giving him a good rep. Giving him a good fucking review here. He's pretty good. Also does CS as well, by the way. If you're from CS and you're going, oh, it's just still around. He's available also for CS Core. That's right. You can hire him for that game too. And also, by the way, just a random thing I'll put out there. Listen, I'm not trying to make it sound serious, but he also will do talk shows. If you ask him, he'll do them as long as they're good.
So versatile.
Exactly. Just available. That's all you need to know. If you're wondering about Dust, status available. Right, what about this then? A more fun one to talk about, in my opinion, is the TSM roster. Because this one obviously was, you could tell on their end, it was a nightmare during the off-season. Like, it was some sort of mad shit where they were trying to, like, spin a bunch of plates all at once. And bizarrely, at the end, they got most of the plates, but then there was this weird scenario where it's actually very, very bizarre. Because normally, I actually think Reginald's done some pretty good moves over the years. I actually think, like, signings isn't one of his worst areas. He's had some that haven't worked out, certainly. But, you know, he's signed a lot of good players over the last few years. And as a result, they've had some decent results. But one part I found very bizarre about this was that it basically was heavily implied behind the scenes that they did want Doublelift initially, but then they themselves as an org almost got butthurt that he said no and that he was going to leave. So then they went and got the player he demanded and then said, you can't play. Like, is this like a 14-year-old girl's birthday party? Like, what? I can't believe that's how you run an org. Like, if that's even vaguely plausible, that is bizarre to me. And it has to be plausible because either they didn't want Doublelift, in which case, what is even all that story? Or they did and this is what happened. So I find
the Beatles said they get by with a little help from their friends, but I get by with a little help from my Patreon community. And this video was kindly supported by Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Ahmed Haju, Butt Pounder 420, Toucan, Animosity, Tobias Bernasconi, Jensen Gore, Tosh, and a special thanks always goes out to my main man, Jerky's Minion. Would you like to ask me a question in my monthly video AMA? Do you want teasers to find out who are the upcoming guests? Maybe you want to take part in one of those lengthy but intense esports discussions I have with my donators, or maybe you want to suggest a guest or a topic that I could cover. Well, if any of those tickle your fancy, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today, where in the description box below there is a Patreon link.